Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on September 26th. Coming up today, we'll hear from the boss of Kent County Council, who's determined to see international rail services return to Kent. And we've got a wrap-up of all football, rugby and cricket news from across the county. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a Canterbury man who conned family, friends and teammates out of more than £1 million, which he then gambled online, has been jailed for 6 years. A court heard Kenny Sanders convinced his victims he was investing their cash in an IT company. Instead, he was using it to fund a lavish lifestyle. The 38-year-old from Ash reported himself to police and investigators. Nick Green lost more than £423,000. He spoke to KMTV's Finn McDermott outside court following sentencing.
Kenny's a family friend, been a friend of mine for a long, long time, and all the family. He asked me to, would I invest, and then from that we just carried on. The business apparently was doing really well. I didn't really have anything to do with the day-to-day business, just investing money as and when needed, and this carried on for a long time until the funds stopped. Any money like was coming back. It got to quite a stage where there was quite a lot of money meant to be in a bank account, so it was time to like start recouping some of that money. And then when I asked Kenny about that, it all sort of dried up. No money was coming back. He said that a company had stopped their money and they were being looked into and stuff like this. This carried on for a long time. And then eventually I got a phone call from his wife crying her eyes out saying that he had gambled all the money away. So obviously it was a big fraud from the start. There was never really any IT equipment being bought or sold.
What did it feel like when you got that call, learning that your money was gone?
The whole world just dropped. The feeling that I'd let my kids down. Anger, frustration. Felt like I let myself down, being quite a successful business person. That I hadn't done enough due diligence. I was going through a divorce at the time as well, so there was a lot going on. And just let down by someone I class as like my brother, really. It was very, very tough emotionally, health-wise, everything-wise. It was very tough, very tough.
I see. And you've been quoted as saying you felt like you were half the person you were before. Has today helped at all?
What it's done, it's made and now time to move on from that point. He's been sentenced. Some justice has been done by that. That's not going to bring back the last 6-8 years. And now it's time for me to rebuild and to look at where we go forward from now. And hopefully rebuild back to, you know, to somewhere where we were before, but a bit of closure. It's just a tough time and not really knowing how I feel at the moment. I think it'll take a bit of time to digest and to see, and hopefully he regrets it. I mean, he says he does in court, but I hope he does. For everybody's sake, who's involved.
Kent Online News.
A Gravesend man has died in hospital shortly after becoming unresponsive while in police custody. Officers have been called to reports of a man running into traffic and smashing a car window on Thames Way in Northfleet earlier this month. 36-year-old Brian Warrington was arrested and became unwell after being transported to the nearby police station. The watchdog is investigating. Four men arrested over a stabbing on Sheppey have been released on bail. Police were called to reports of a disturbance at a property in Halfway Road on Tuesday. A man who was taken to hospital has now been discharged. We're told an investigation is ongoing. A gang who stole £2 million worth of jewellery from a salesman in Kent have been jailed. The victim was tracked from Brighton back to the county after work in January 2024. The gems were taken when he was distracted at a petrol station in Rootham. Three people have been locked up for a total of 13 years. Now, a Kent man whose mum is being held in Iran with her husband has told us they're due in court again this week, but it's unclear what the hearing is for. Lindsay and Craig Foreman were detained on spying charges in January during a round-the-world motorcycle tour. It's still not known what happened at a court appearance last month. Lindsay's son, Joe Bennett, from Folkestone, has provided an update.
We don't have any information around what happened in the previous court visit or sort of what's on the agenda for this time round. That does cause quite a lot of concern for us as a family, because if the UK government aren't understanding what's going on, you know, sort of within these court hearings, it must be quite difficult to be able to sort of defend allegations. So we're going to see what the outcome of that is at the moment. In terms of their welfare and health, they are coping mentally, but I kind of don't want that to become normalised. The conditions they're in are horrific. And they've been seen, and that does seem to be becoming more regular, but they are struggling a little bit physically.
And what do you hope comes from this court appearance?
That they're found innocent, like they are, and released. But, you know, the research that we've done and history suggests that that isn't what happens, especially sort of when espionage charges are floated around. History does suggest there is a sentencing due at some point, but you never know. This might be the one that breaks the mould. As I say, I highly doubt it, but until we hear what the outcome of the court hearings are, it's hard to predict what is going to happen, you know?
And have the government been helpful in helping you through this case?
I mean, in terms of support and communication, I can't fault it. You know, that's never been a pet peeve of mine, because the people who we deal with on a daily basis are, you know, they're very prompt at answering questions and organising meetings and everything like that, which is great for the family and everybody this side. But my main concern is my mum and Craig, who are over there, and what are we doing on that side of the coin to make sure that we get them released as early as possible? So again, you know, this is not dismissing anything that the people we're working with are doing, but that's why we've now written to Yvette Cooper, the new Foreign Secretary, because that's the level that we want to try and get this acknowledged that.
There have been tributes to Adil's mum, whose body was found in the sea a week after she went missing. Kate Sparks had been struggling with her mental health months before she was found in St Margaret's Bay earlier this month. The 45-year-old has been remembered as a loving person who would do anything for anyone.
Kent Online News.
Two baby pygmy goats have been stolen from a field near Raynham. The animals were taken from land on Mearsborough Lane earlier this month. We've shared a picture of the pair at Kent Online. Police want to hear from anyone who knows where they are. Four fire engines have been sent to Horling in Medway after fencing caught alight. The blaze broke out on the A228 Rochester Road yesterday afternoon, causing delays in the area. No one was hurt, and it's unclear how it started. A care company in Gillingham has been rated as inadequate after the CQC found 7 breaches of regulation. During an inspection of services at Optimum Supported Housing Limited, issues were found with safeguarding, staffing and management. The service has also been placed in special measures, which means they'll be closely monitored while improvements are made.
Kent Online News.
Bosses at Kent County Council are holding an event today to show Kent is ready to welcome back international rail services. They've not stopped here since the pandemic. Today, MPs, council members and business representatives will travel by train between Ashford International and Ebbsfleet, showcasing what's on offer. I've been speaking to KCC leader Lyndon Kemp-Karen, who says it's about unlocking the county's economic potential.
I'm here at Ashford International. Later on, we'll be going to Ebbsfleet, which is up near Dartford, and they are just sitting there in mothballs. I mean, what a monumental waste of money it is. This place is like a ghost town, or it's not today, because we've got hundreds of people coming for this really exciting event to try and encourage somebody to use these lovely stations.
Now, this is a lot more than a convenience for people. You know, a lot of people say, oh, people are just getting lazy. They don't want to get into London only to come back through Kent. But it is more about just convenience, isn't it? It's, can you tell me a little bit about what it could bring back to the county?
Sure. I mean, it's way more than just convenience. Obviously, my residents here in Kent, if they could hop on the Eurostar at Ashford or at Ebbsfleet, they would be a lot more inclined to use it, I imagine, rather than having to get on the train in Kent, go all the way up to St Pancras, and then come all the way back through Kent to access the continent. It just doesn't make sense. But this is so vital. These stations are so vital for business, for tourism, and for residents. The Good Growth Foundation has estimated that new visitors to Kent could increase the spend in our visitor economy by over £300 million a year. £300 million. We've seen in the last few weeks a couple of Kent tourism organisations go into administration. You know, it's dire. The situation is dire. The Kent tourism industry and our businesses need all the help we can get. So it makes perfect sense to resurrect this stopping service here at Ashford and at Ebbsfleet to give visitors the opportunity to spend a few days here in the Garden of England. I mean, Kent is not somewhere you want to just whiz through on your way to London. It's somewhere to stop. It's somewhere to stay for a few nights, enjoy the vineyards, enjoy the beautiful heritage sites. We've got castles, manor houses, beautiful country pubs. We've got amazing shopping facilities in Bluewater and Ashford and other places. We've got Canterbury. You know, you've got everything you could possibly want to really supplement your visit here to the UK.
As you mentioned, so much of the infrastructure is already in place. We've already got the industries and the sectors that are welcome. They're willing to welcome these tourists back. Would to start up again, would it require any investment to get the stations and to get everything up and running again? Or is it literally just open the trains and we're ready to go?
Well, as people will see when they get to Ashford today, everything is here. You know, we've got passport booths, we've got trolleys, we've got seating, we've got coffee shops, we've got shops, we've got a bureau de change. Everything is here. It's ready to go. It's just been literally wrapped in plastic when the pandemic hit. The doors were locked. But it's here. It's ready made. We've got a first class lounge here in Ashford. Ebbsfleet is the same. You know, it's beautiful. It's shiny. It's new. It's purpose built. You know, all that's missing is the passengers.
They'll also hand over a petition to the government calling for the services to be reinstated, which is more than 70,000 signatures. A major new poll suggests Nigel Farage would become Prime Minister if a general election were held now. According to YouGov, Reform UK are on track to win nearly half of all Westminster seats, including 14 out of 18 constituencies here in Kent. Sevenoaks and Tunbridge are set to remain Conservative. Canterbury would be Labour, and it looks like the Lib Dems would keep hold of Tunbridge Wells. Residents say they'll push back against plans to build 200 homes on farmland in West Morling. Developer Miller Homes says the Greenbelt site north of Offham Road is a potential site of allocation in the council's emerging local plan. Locals say the damage it will cause to the environment will be irreversible. However, no formal planning application has been submitted. Prince William's Duchy of Cornwall could be asked to pay almost £35 million towards community facilities as part of a new development in Faversham. There are plans for a new garden town with 2,500 homes on land owned by the Duchy. If it's approved, developers will need to pay what's known as a Section 106 contribution, which will be put towards school provision and transport infrastructure. Chapel Down have scrapped plans for a £32 million winery near Canterbury. The company, which runs vineyards in the county, had been hoping to build on land at Canterbury Business Park off the A2 near Bridge. Bosses say they've given up on the idea following legal challenges over construction work in the area of outstanding natural beauty.
Kent Online News.
A viewpoint at a popular nature reserve on Romney Marsh is going to close for major repair work. Hanson Hyde at the RSPB site in Dungeness will be out of action until at least October 9th. Bosses say the work's needed to prolong its lifespan. And it's been confirmed several parts of Kent will be getting funding as part of the government's Pride in Place scheme. The idea is to revive high streets, bringing pubs and shops back into use and blocking unwanted vape stores and bookies. Sheppey is getting £20 million, while Thanet, Gravesham and Medway will receive £1.5 million each.
Kent Online Sport.
Football Now and Gillingham will be hoping to keep their record-breaking streak alive this weekend. They're hosting Harrogate Town at Priestfield tomorrow. The Gills have now gone 21 games unbeaten and sit top of the table. Defender Andy Smith says they're not getting ahead of themselves.
The gaffer's sort of drilled into us that we take every game as it comes. You know, no one's getting ahead of themselves. It's still really early days. I think we're a fifth of the way into the season. There's still a hell of a lot of football to be played. Yeah, obviously we're at the top of the table at the minute, but if we're not there come the end of the season, it counts for nothing. So we're all focused on putting the best version of ourselves out on Saturday. Obviously, when you're winning, it's a really good place to be, and we're just looking to build on it. I still don't think we're the finished article by any means. looking to build on the performances we've had so far, the start we've had, and hopefully we'll get 3 points on Saturday.
The Jewels have been selling some tickets to the game for a fiver in the hopes of having 8,000 fans in the stands. Harrogate Town are 16th in League 2. Manager Gareth Ainsworth says they're expecting a challenge.
Tough game. You know, the game, League 2, we say that anyone could beat anyone. Look what happened at Newport last week. You know, we had a real tough time in that first 15 minutes. You know, they really came at us. I'm expecting that Harrogate will be the same. They'll come at us, you know, without a shadow of a doubt. They've got some good players, you know, Stevie Duke McKenna, we're out at QPR, good little player there. He seems to be finding some form. Bryn Morris, I've worked with before, you know, in the midfield. So, yeah, some real good players there. But got to give credit to Simon Weaver for what he's done there, the job he's done. You know, he's kept Harrogate in the league for many a year when a lot of people probably thought when they came up they were going back down, you know. And I know the tough task that is, you know, with Wickham when we were, you know, we took over at 22nd in League 2 when I did. And, you know, many people thought we were relegation candidates and we were a weaker club than everyone else. And you've just got to keep working hard and working to your principles. And Simon's obviously done that, got a little bit of luck, but it's all down to hard work, the players he's brought up there. And that's why I'm saying we're going to have to be at our best, because his Harrogate side is a decent side. You know, I've been told again we haven't had the best record against Harrogate. I got told that last week against Newport, so that doesn't concern me too much. But we need to be at our top level, definitely. In every game this season, not just Harrogate at home. Fans coming down, brilliant. You know, I'm really proud of what we did last week. You know, the big thing is we weren't talking about it in the week. Nobody mentioned it. Nobody was saying, let's get this record. It just sort of organically happened and it sort of sprung up on us a little bit. And people will say, probably they don't believe I'm saying that, but it did, you know, maybe because it's over two seasons or whatever. But what an achievement. And so fans, be brilliant to see you on Saturday to get down. And, you know, let's all celebrate together because you all played your part, you know, all the fans, they've been with us throughout. And so let's have that moment where you all come in and we all celebrate, but then get behind us because we want to make it 22 unbeaten. You know, we want to keep going on this run and we need your support to get anything out of Harrogate. So, looking forward to seeing a bumper crowd. All four sides are open, which is magnificent. I haven't seen it yet. So looking forward to that one and hopefully we can... We can get the points.
Staying with football, and London City Lionesses have been given permission to completely overhaul their training ground in Kent. The WSL side submitted plans to knock down the existing building at Cobdown Sports Ground in Ditton and build a state-of-the-art facility. Nicola's been speaking to Sarah Batters, who's the club's managing director.
So we're renovating our site to create really one of the world's leading training centres for girls' football and women's football. The facilities will be the best in the world and will be there to, you know, serve our first team, who are the first independent club to be participating in the Women's Super League, but also create an academy with all the age groups to allow girls to access pathways into football within Kent. And we also have a community pitch, so we can invite our community in to come and play football on our site. That could be anyone from our local Kent Girls and Ladies Football Leagues to local schools or SNED or even veterans walking football.
And how good would it be, as you say, for developing the girls' game in Kent? We know how much of an impact the England Lionesses have had and how popular the sport has become. How vital do you think it is to help nurture that going forward?
So one of the councillors said last night, and he's right, so Alicia Russo, local girl on Lioness, had to travel into London to join an academy. And now we've lost her to North London from Kent. But, you know, giving girls an opportunity to progress those footballing dreams without having to go into London is just going to unearth so much talent that's local to Kent and make it possible for the parents to support them.
I guess we have to talk about cash, Sarah, because these things never come cheap. How much money are we talking to set up this facility?
It's a significant amount of money, certainly record amount of money being spent on a training centre for girls' football, women's football in the UK. So Michelle Kang, our owner, is investing heavily in women's sport. And so she's providing that this training centre, there's no expense spared. You know, the girls are going to have a hydrotherapy pool, a spa. They're even going to have a beauty treatment room. you know, to make sure they, you know, they get to live their whole lives, and we can support them as best as possible to succeed.
I guess it's about supporting mental health and making them feel at their very best, isn't it? So that they're performing their best on the pitch. So it's taking that holistic approach to the game.
Yeah, and that's really important to us. When we've been designing the training ground, we've been looking at that journey of the athlete during the day, and that journey starts with a wellness and well-being check. So making sure that we're supporting the girls 360. It's a very intense environment, being a professional footballer. And a lot of the girls, they're young girls still. They're not even 20, some of them. And so being under the spotlight and having that intense training, we need to make sure we're supporting them 360, and the training centre's designed to be able to do that.
A new community pitch will also allow for more schools and club programs. The scheme was approved last night by Tunbridge and Morling Borough Council's planning committee. Taking a look at rugby, and former Aylesford Bulls player Jess Breach is due to start for England in the Women's World Cup final this weekend. The Red Roses are taking on Canada in front of a sellout 82,000 strong crowd at Twickenham tomorrow. That's a record for a women's game. Ellie Cole is the women's captain at Ashford Rugby Club. She's been chatting to Nicola along with Malcolm Oates, who's the girls' coordinator at the club.
It's brilliant, and it's brilliant to see it growing. I mean, we were lucky enough to be there at the Six Nations game. I think it was last season where they got the current, well, the old record before the New Zealand. So we were there for that record breaking one, and then we're going to be there at the weekend. And it's just great to see so many people getting behind women's sport, behind women's rugby, and just seeing it grow and become more popular.
When did you first start out playing rugby, Ellie?
I tried a little bit when I was at uni, but got sidestepped into lacrosse. And then I massively got back into it when my children started playing, and I was like, I want to play again. So that was 4 seasons ago, I think.
And what is it about rugby that you love so much? It sounds like as soon as you played, you got hooked, and now you're captain of the side.
Yeah, 100%, totally got hooked. I don't know. I love the sport anyway, but I love the ethos behind the sport. So it's not just about winning at all costs. There's values throughout all age grades, from kids right the way through up to sort of adults and men's and women's. The social aspect of it, and just like, it is a really tough physical game, but everyone on that field has your back, and it's just that team sportsmanship.
And going back to the final on Saturday, it is quite a story because Canada, by all means, were not expected to make the final at all. I mean, that's a brilliant story in itself, isn't it, that they're going to be taking on England this weekend?
The Canadian team have been phenomenal. They were always sort of an underdogs. And I know we'd had, like in my group, had quite a few chats about that they were ones to watch, and they've proven it right. But it's just that sort of getting behind them, their belief, having infrastructure and stuff put in place to help them train and to improve is now shown.
My name is Malcolm Oates. I have two roles, really. I'm the under-16s league coach. I'm also along with Ellie as well. We both coach the same age group, which is fantastic. But I'm also the girls coordinator within the club.
How is the state of the girls' game in Kent? I mean, we're hoping the Red Roses will be a huge inspiration to an awful lot of youngsters growing up. But how many are taking part in the game at the moment?
So we have over 100 girls, from ranging from under 6 to under 18. So we also have girls who've recently moved over. They've gone into that transition into the ladies game. But we're very much active in how we drive the game. So Kent RFU, but then also the English Rugby Football Union, have very much driven rugby from a what they call a love rugby phase. So we've seen 30 girls join us this summer through various instances, right? Whether it's just come and try sessions and so forth. But also it's ever evolving. We have, you know, oh, my friend really wants to come along and try it. We're like, yeah, no problem. As Ellie said, we get a lot of girls who are very tenacious to start with and a bit like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. And then we have other girls who have come and said, yeah, this is what I want. This is where I fit. I don't fit the football. I don't fit the netball. You know, the standard, the hockey, the standard girls sports. But they go, this is me. I want to be here. And those are the ones who thrive. So it's really, really good.
Ellie was saying, obviously, it's a great team sport. You get huge amounts of fitness as well. What do you think it does for young people mentally as well to take part in regular sporting activity?
They might have, I suppose, mental health, physical fitness, social engagement. You know, we've got girls who maybe don't succeed at school, but they succeed here. On the rugby pitch, they're very, very, you know, they might not be academical, but they're very sporty. But also, like the buzz we had We had a girls takeover event with Medway, and just the buzz, the girls knowing each other, they've built friendships throughout, from when they maybe started under 12s up to under 16s and so forth. But yeah, it's definitely a sport where I think young women and ladies can find themselves and really come out of their shell maybe, and be a lot more confident in themselves.
To cricket, and Kent have a big score to chase on day three of their county championship match against Derbyshire. The visitors declared on 698 in their first innings at Canterbury, with Kent due to resume on 117 for two in response. It's their final game of the season. And Kent Cricket has announced a testimonial year to celebrate Daniel Bell Drummond. The 32-year-old joined the side when he was just 7 and was named as club captain in 2024. Events will be held next year to recognise him as a player and raise money for his chosen charities. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. To find out more, head to www.kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.